Now, I'd like to invite the Commissioner, IFW Commissioner Judy.
Honorable members of the committee, I'm Judy Camuso, Commissioner of Maine Fish and Wildlife. Happy to be here today. Nice to see some new faces and nice to see some returning faces here as well. I'm going to give a brief overview of the department and what we do, some of our goals. I'm not texting or anything. I think I'm going to set a timer for myself. So I'm going to give an overview of the department, some kind of our goals and objectives, our strategic plan. So if you guys want to move so you can see it, I don't know, whatever, if anybody can, y'all want to see it. And then I'll end with telling you just a little bit about myself and my personal interests. So as I mentioned, I'm Judy Camuso. I am the commissioner here, and I started my career at Maine Audubon a long time ago. I worked for Maine Audubon for about 11 years, primarily as a non-game biologist and environmental educator. I moved over to the department. I started working in the regional office, and as a regional biologist, I worked in the regions for 8 years, moved to Augusta, and as the special projects coordinator, and then very quickly moved into the wildlife director position. And then when Governor Mills was elected, I was nominated and then confirmed by this committee as Commissioner of Fish and Wildlife, as the first woman ever to hold this position. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our mission for the group. The department is, you know, our mission is to protect and manage Maine's fish and wildlife, their habitats, promote Maine's outdoor heritage, and safely connect people with nature through responsible recreation, science, and sport. So how many fish and wildlife species do we actually manage, right? There's a lot. So we just have the inland portion. There are about 15,000 invertebrates, 423 birds, 61 mammals, 39 fish, 18 amphibians, 17 reptiles. Of those, less than 100 or 100 are fished. So we have a broad responsibility, and it covers a wide range of species. I like to say everything from moose to mayflies falls within our purview. We have 7 regional offices across the state, and each of those offices house regional biologists as well, fisheries and wildlife biologists. 5 of them house warden service staff, and then we have a facility in Bangor that houses our research and assessment section. So this is a little bit of the structure, and you'll hear from a lot of these people today, myself, the Deputy Commissioner, Tim Peabody, Crystal, and then some of our Bureau directors are here, and I'll let them talk a little bit about more in their program, what they do. So as Commissioner of Fish and Wildlife, I will share that a lot of the other commissioners refer to me as the Commissioner of Fun. And while the activities that we manage are fun, and most people are generally happy when they're participating in those activities, these activities are enormously important to the state's economy and are a real driver, particularly in the rural communities, for the economy in those areas. So hunting and wildlife watching alone contributes over $1 billion annually to the state's economy. The Wildlife Division works to protect, conserve, and enhance Maine's wildlife resources, protect habitat for conservation and enhancement of those species. We work to develop rules for effective management of those species. They have over 70 different wildlife management areas, over 110,000 acres that they manage. And right now we have about 232,000 licensed hunters in the state. In the past few years, some of the major accomplishments in the Wildlife Division, they are about to complete a Maine Bird Atlas, about 5 years in the making. This is an enormous undertaking. It hasn't happened since the 70s. And so this basically gives us an idea of birds in the state year-round, breeding and wintering. It's had over 4,000 volunteers participate in this, as well as a lot of staff and contract staff that helped us manage that along with our partners. Over the past 10 years, the department has also embarked on the largest moose research project in the Northeast in the history. And you'll hear a lot more about that from Lee Cantar when he comes in to talk to you. Our Division of Fisheries and Hatcheries has an economic impact of $380 million annually on the state's economy and supports over 3,300 jobs. They protect and enhance native wild fisheries, at the same time raising stock, trout, and salmon for recreational anglers. Responsible for management over 6,000 lakes and ponds and 30,000 miles rivers and streams. We work to provide access to these waters, including over 174 water access sites. In order to enhance the state's native fisheries, we do grow and we operate 8 hatcheries where we grow and stock over 1 million trout and salmon annually. And over 380,000 people are licensed to fish in Maine. So the past few years, we were able to secure close to $20 million in federal money to work on some rebuilds of our hatcheries, our new Gloucester hatchery, as well as Grand Lake Stream hatchery. And we will be working to improve the water effluent at all 8 of our hatchery sites. The Department Fisheries Division recently completed a 15-year strategic management plan for fish. This was an enormous activity, involved lots of stakeholders, public surveys, and input from our staff, and gives a nice outline of what our goals are for fisheries management in the next 15 years. And we have, of course, worked to try and prevent the impacts from invasive species on our fisheries and aquatic resources, and we do that a lot through what we call the Clean Drain Dry program. Supporting both fisheries and wildlife is the Land and Water Access Program, and that program works to secure access for recreational use for the, for now and future generations. Whenever we survey the public, access is the number one issue people have. It's the biggest barrier to participation in everything we do. So in the past 4 years, we added 34 new parcels of land, over 3,000 acres to our wildlife management area system. An additional 10,000 acres are on track to be added within the next few months. We have actively assisted our partners to secure an additional 45,000 acres during the same time period. And with that work, we were able to help secure $14 million in state and federal grants. We reconstructed and built over eight facilities, water access sites, including Maine's first fully ADA accessible fishing facility at Togus Pond. If you haven't been to this facility, you should go. It's amazing. It's completely accessible, number of different spots you can get out and fish, and it's super easy access, great parking. It's an amazing spot. And we acquired 13 new water access sites from the St. John River and St. Francis to the Saco River down in Cornish. Our environmental review program, a lot of people don't know as much about this, but this program works to identify important habitat resources and provide recommendations on means to avoid, minimize, and mitigate adverse impacts to these resources as much as possible. The department has reviewed in the past few years 41 hydro facilities, more than 125 solar projects, and they regularly work with the Department of Transportation. And of course, we are working with the governor's office on climate, reviewing things like offshore wind, things like that. The Bureau of Warden Service has 124 full-time officers, 8 deputies. Last year, Maine Warden Service inspected more than 75,000 outdoor users. Of course, the Bureau of Warden Service works to enforce hunting, fishing, and recreational vehicle laws and oversee search and rescue operations in the state. They are very much what we call the face of the agency. If you interact with someone in the agency, it's most likely going to be a game warden. They really do a really good job promoting the work that we do. They responded to over 26,000 calls for service last year and have multiple specialty teams. You hear about these in the news a lot, including the dive team, the canine team, search and rescue, aviation. And Colonel will speak more about those. A few accomplishments in the past year, particularly with the help of this committee, we were able to really up our game when it comes to landowner relations. Of course, the state of Maine is almost exclusively privately owned. And so access to that public land, private land, is very important. And our landowner relations program is core to continuing to ensure that we have that access. We have 5 game wardens now dedicate 100% of their time to educating and developing positive relationship between landowners and user groups. 3 of those are deputies that were added in the last budget cycle by this committee. The Division of Public Information and Education works to enhance public understanding of the department and its programs and increase participation in outdoor activities such as hunting, fishing, and trapping. The division oversees our communication efforts, including traditional and digital media, website, social media, and email communications. And if you have not seen an increase in the volume of communication coming out of our agency, I don't think you're awake. We get emails, every day, practically. If you're interested, you can hear from us as often as you want. We also work to develop and implement marketing and educational programs for people of all ages and oversees a wildlife park in Gray and recreational safety as well, which is huge. A couple big things in the past few years, we developed a multi-pronged communications and marketing campaign called Keeper of the Maine Outdoors that was primarily a tool to try and connect with a broader audience. This campaign has now won 2 national awards for their effectiveness, and it's the first time ever those awards were won by the state of Maine. So it's a pretty impressive program. Likewise, the recreational safety unit has increased for opportunities for folks looking to learn how to hunt, fish, trap, recreational vehicles by expanding our courses online and in person. So we now have ways that you can take hunter safety or what we call our next step programs online, in person, or you can do both, whatever you prefer. And there's a whole suite of offerings on our website and on a YouTube channel. If you want to learn how to hunt in the state, we have all the tools that you need to get you started. Division of Licensing and Registration. And this division is somewhat like the unsung hero because they do an enormous amount of work that really supports everything at the agency, but they don't get any of the fame or glory that the biologists or the wardens get. So they oversee the sale and administration of about 500,000 licenses a year, register close to 300,000 boats, snowmobiles, and ATVs, generate over $23 million a year in revenue for the department annually. All of this is accessible online through our MOSES system. And just some sort of tidbits, in 2019, 43% of our customers purchased their license online. In 2020, that number jumped to 61, and just this past year, we're at 63. So we're gradually growing to more and more people participating online. So as I mentioned, our online license sales have grown 43% in the past year, accounting for nearly 100,000 additional licenses being sold online versus through one of our agents. So we continue to improve that process. And recently, we now have auto renew for folks that are interested. So that helps prevent the lapse or churning of what we call of participants, who people who mean to buy their license, but they sort of forget. So it makes it a lot easier. You can renew your license in less than 1 minute. So that's been a really positive development. The Division of Engineering, also probably another unsung hero of the department. They provide overall support for all the department's capital improvement projects. They deal with all of the sort of behind the scenes, soliciting the bids, reviewing the contracts, getting all the work done. They oversee and manage our 7 regional offices, 8 hatcheries, a wildlife park. You know, they manage all of the structures that the department has, which is a lot. As you can see, 77 dams, 113 fishways, 15 miles of roads and access, and there's only 3 people. So they do a phenomenal amount of work for the department. In the past couple of years, then in all at the same time, they moved, if you haven't been to our new facility on Water Street, we moved from State Street to Water Street. And so they moved the entire agency. And also at the same time, the Bangor staff moved to a different building. So that was the fastest transition I've ever seen an agency move. Constructed a new, really nice new garage facility in Gray and oversaw the installation of a new deep water pipeline at the Grand Lake Stream Hatchery. So first thing I did when I became commissioner was work with our staff and many of our constituents and the public, our stakeholders, to develop a 5-year strategic plan for making sure that what we thought we should be doing was in line with what the public thinks we should be doing. We are, in fact, a state agency, and our job is to manage our resources to the public's desires. So there were sort of 5 buckets, as we call them, that we really needed, that the felt we felt and the public felt we needed to focused on workforce, of course, maintaining fish and wildlife habitat. That kind of goes without saying, but it still needs to be said. So, and then public access, communication, and customer experience. So I'll talk a little bit about some of those. So our strategic workforce plan and all of these goals have like a couple hundred actions and, you know, things. We've got like smart sheet after smart sheet on projects that we're supposed to do to accomplish these goals. But, you know, our goal for this one really is to successfully attract, support, and retain a highly skilled workforce and build an organizational structure and culture that values diversity, communication, and teamwork. And I'm really proud to say that we have very low turnover at the department. Most people come to Maine Fish and Wildlife and they stay for their whole career. Unlike most other jobs in the world these days, you know, we have really good retention rates. And I'll give a call out particularly because I'm not sure if the Colonel's going to address this or not, but, you know, even in law enforcement, we've had really good luck and success in hiring really skilled, qualified people. We are still having a lot of people that want to be game wardens at a time when it is really not that popular to go into law enforcement. So I think that speaks volumes about the culture of the agency and the work that we do. Our 5-year plan for maintaining healthy fish and wildlife habitats, you know, partnering with our public to achieve these shared goals. For sustainability, maintaining and improving healthy fish and wildlife populations and habitats. You know, we can't do this alone. We have about 110 partners that we work with to try and accomplish our goals. These are big, lofty goals. Maintaining fish and wildlife habitat is not something that our agency can do alone. We rely on partnership with the public, with our nonprofit and our other agencies to make that work. So access is a big one. We've talked about this as the number one kind of barrier to participation, particularly for women. So we have a landowner relations program that focuses on making sure that we keep land open, making sure that our public, that our, you know, our private landowners are respected, that the public who is using them are sort of have the ethics that they need to make sure that we keep those lands open to the public so we can continue to have that opportunity for recreational users. So communication, I think this is probably one of my biggest goals. And when I was wildlife director, I was involved in the bear referendum. And so there's a statewide referendum on our bear hunting techniques. And, you know, one of the outcomes of that was really that we need to do a better job communicating with the public what we do, why we do it, and why, how it benefits them, whether they participate in these activities or not. So the things that we do and manage in the agency benefit everybody in the state. And I wanted to make sure that we are communicating that out so that people understand what their state agency does and how it benefits them, and not just our regular constituents. So we're trying to, you know, actively trying to reach new audiences. And the customer experience. Of course, we want to make sure that people have a good interaction with us, that they're satisfied with the work that the agency is doing, that we're meeting their goals, but also that they're having a good time when they're out, that they're going out into the field, they feel equipped, competent, capable, that our instructional opportunities are helping them, and that they keep going, right? So that they keep participating, so that they have that positive experience. So some of my personal priorities, I'll just talk about these quickly. Climate change, of course, I don't think anyone can deny that climate change is the number one threat to fish and wildlife that we will experience in my lifetime. So certainly working on ways, the department actively working on ways we can minimize and mitigate those impacts. And as you'll hear from Lee when he presents, those are impacts or things we're seeing right now, not in 10 or 20 or 50 years. These are impacts we're seeing right now. Communicating with the broader audience. I talked a little bit about this, but this is really important to me, making sure that we get our message out to the public in a way that is interesting, that is current, that keeps us relevant, that we are providing things that the public wants and needs, and staying relevant in an increasingly digital world. Everybody relies on this now, right? I heard a quote this morning, people can't go 5 hours without their cell phone without going crazy. That's what the average was. You can't be away from your cell phone for more than 5 hours. People start to get panicky, right? So we want to try and get those people and utilize this tool, but use it to get them outside and connecting with nature. Recruit, retain, reactivate, particularly folks participating in hunting, fishing, and trapping. Before I was, took over as commissioner, we had been seeing a slow but steady decline in our participation rates for hunting and fishing. And of course, as an agency, there's a lot of challenges with that. And that was true nationally. Maine was having a slower decline than most states, but we were still on a slow and steady decline. So one, obviously, we get money from those license sales, right? That's how the agency is primarily funded. So there's a challenge as the head of the agency. I want to make sure that we're fiscally, sound. And then also those hunters, particularly those that are harvesting things, are volunteer wildlife managers. And so that is how we maintain healthy fish and wildlife populations, or populations at a level that's healthy wildlife and socially acceptable levels. So this is a really important, this is a national program, in trying to make sure that we are able to recruit and retain people participating in activities. It used to be, 20% of Americans participated in hunting and fishing, and that is down to 6. That's partly because there's more people, right? It's not that there's fewer people doing it, but there's just a more bigger population in general. So the percentages goes down. So we have a really active program to try and recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters in the state. We have a lot of what we call next step programs. So you have your hunter ed certificate, now what? So that doesn't really qualify you to do much of anything. So how do you how do you hunt turkey? How do you call turkey? How do you set up your tree, your tree stand safely? How do you track a deer? So we have these next step programs to help move people through from very beginning to being really confident and capable in the outdoors independently. So also, one of my personal priorities is to promote women in fisheries and wildlife, both professionally and recreationally. When I started, we had about 13% of our licensed hunters were women, less than 13%. We're at about 15% now, but that's as part of the whole population of hunting. So the entire hunting population has actually increased since 2019, about 9%. So if you look at just women to women, so there's 21,000 women in 2019, and there's now 25,000, over 25, close to 26. So it's about a 17% increase. So that's awesome. And so not only in outdoor recreation, but in our agency as professionals in their field. So before we came here, I was on a call or a national webinar with over 400 people talking specifically about women in wildlife and women in hunting, and getting, how can we get them involved and retain them? Is the largest, one of the largest webinars that the group has participated in. So there's obviously, a need. People are interested and want to participate. So some lessons from the pandemic. So everybody knows during the pandemic, everybody went outside. The outside was still open. It was one of the safe places to be. One of the only places you could be safely. We saw huge increases in participation, not just in hunting and fishing, but hiking, canoeing, kayaking. You couldn't get any of those. You couldn't even buy, that equipment. It was sold out before it even hit the shelves. And so there's some things we can learn there, right? There's a lot of people. There's a pent up demand there. And I think a lot of those people, our job now is going to be to keep them, right? So they went outside during the pandemic because they couldn't do anything else, right? But now the kids are back in school programs and the malls are open and everything else. So our job now is to kind of try and keep them, make sure they had a good experience, but keep them coming back. As I said, the hunting license numbers are up 9%, non-residents up 7.5%. The number of people who have completed hunter safety online are now up 30%. And of the folks taking the online hunter ed class, 30% are women, and over 50% are in our target audience of demographic of between the ages of 18 and 35. And that's for retention purposes. That's kind of the key nationally. That's the key demographic you want to hit. We've had people, increased numbers of people applying for moose, deer, bear permits, all that stuff. Successes are up across the board. So, you know, where do we go from here? Our job is, as I said, to try and keep people. And my personal belief and my real motivation for doing all this is I care about fish and wildlife. And I believe that the more, as people will protect what they care about. And so I want more people caring about the things that I do, because that the more people that care about fish and wildlife, the more people we're going to have lobbying and advocating for good rules and regulations and protections long term. So a little bit about myself. Our tagline at the agency is we're all in for the outdoors. I'm an avid outdoors woman. I hunt, I fish, I hunt turkey, deer, upland game. I've got 3 German Shorthair pointers. The little one you can see there, that's Grady. He's only 10 months old. He's a bit of a hellion, but he is adorable and a really good hunter. I fish almost every weekend. I would argue I fish more, as almost as much as the fisheries director, pretty close, but a lot. And I'm also a licensed bird bander. I'm an avid birder. My husband and I hike, we canoe, we kayak. I fish year round, ice fishing, spin casting, fly fishing. I've been on a couple moose hunts, but I've never actually had a permit myself. So that's a little bit about me. And I think you'll see, I'm just going to scroll through some slides, some of our staff. Most people at Fish and Wildlife are really outdoor enthusiasts, from the southern part of the state to the northern part of the state. You can see is a wildlife biologist, Doug Kane. That's his son and daughter-in-law. Emily Cram runs our wildlife park. Liz Thorndike's our resource fisheries biologist in Strong. Lieutenant Cross here. Lieutenant Cross has like 6 kids. That's just one of them. And that's Danielle DiOria is our water bird specialist. Lieutenant Ward, that's his granddaughter, I think, is the moose biologist, Lee Cantar, whom you'll hear from. I think Mark Laddie is in the room, our communications director. Mark's son is also a game warden. So they're all avid outdoor folks. Some division wildlife director, Nate Webb, with I think Duncan and Lily canoeing there. And Angel out fishing, our office associate, Colonel Scott's here. That's Dan with a couple of his kids, 2 of his boys. Recreational safety supervisor Ron Fournier is an avid outdoor person, really avid trapper. And just a few more. I just like to highlight that it's throughout the agency and all bureaus and divisions, folks like to participate in these activities. Corey Fords, Heather Rodriguez, secretary for the engineering division, Jake Scoville, fisheries technician, Courtney Sorois, who I'm going to just give a shout out to because I give the ideas of what I want to say and what information I want. And she puts the presentation together for me and makes it look amazing. So Courtney's our digital marketing and digital communication supervisor, and Major Chris Cloutier there with his first hunting dog, although he's been hunting a long time. He's the first time he's had an actual hunting dog. So I'm happy to answer any questions. That's all I have for you today. I do actually have to go to appropriations at 3:30, but if you don't follow the department on any of our social media networks, please do, or on all the major Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Also, if you haven't signed up to get our updates through Gov Delivery, just go on to our website and that Keep in Touch page and you'll come to the links that include all the various opportunities, the ways you can get emails from us, and you can pick kind of which categories you want to hear about. So that's all I have for you. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them.